This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers. Can you settle down, please, inshallah, so we can make a start? Jazakumullah khair. بالله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Firstly, I'd like to welcome you all to this Saturday's lecture. Before we start, inshallah, just a few announcements. Firstly, if you can ask the brothers, inshallah, to move as close as possible to the stage. And also, if you have any children, please keep your children with you. And don't let them wander around, messing around at the back, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Also, please put your mobile phones on silent or switch them off, inshallah, just to avoid any disturbance. Before I hand it over to the Sheikh as well, there is, as every year, we have a winter conference again, as I'm sure you've seen on the posters around, starting on the 24th of this month. And we'll be going on until the 27th. So please do attend and also spread the word, inshallah, in order to gain as much benefit as possible. Jazakumullah khair. Also, if you've parked your car in the car park, please make sure that you're parked sensibly and not blocking anyone to prevent them from coming out, inshallah. Today's lecture will be delivered by Ustad Wasim. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And without further ado, I'll hand it over to the Sheikh. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses every single one of us and our families on this blessed night, inshallah ta'ala, in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that enables us to make us from the al-mukhlisin, from those who are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are no better places to learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this particular part of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like any other important or great event, a time for us to ponder over. And for many of us, it won't be the first time that we hear this story. And it may not be the last time that we hear the story. In fact, we may have heard the story a number of times. But however, the reminder serves to benefit the believer. فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ That the reminder serves as a benefit to the believers. And that each time we go over this story, each time you read a verse or a surah from the Qur'an, it is important for us to try and ponder over it, to think about the benefits that can be drawn from it, and how I can benefit from that story. This particular story, which is known as Qissatul Ifk, and Ifk is like a great lie or a great slander. You will not find in any book, any Islamic book, the reality of actually what the accusation was. But rather it is named like this. It is called the slander against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So you'd never find that it is an accusation of fornication, iyadhan billah. You won't find that written anywhere. But the respect that the scholars, rahmatullah alayhim, that they would have concerning this incident, and even Allah jalla wa ala in Al-Quran explained it, those who came with al-ifk, with this great lie. So likewise, we will deal with the story similarly with respect. Now, it is a story of tests, and all of us, we face tests. All of us have tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are tailored to us, which are tailored specifically to you. And you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never test you beyond your capability, beyond your means. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never burden any soul beyond their means or their capability. And you should always know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you according to the level of your iman, according to how strong you are. So inshallah ta'ala, the stronger the test, the greater the reward. And as we know, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً, that those people who are most severely tested are al-anbiya, are the prophets. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. And then those who come after them, and then those who come after them in level. So when we look at the incident here, this what happened between our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, it is for us to ponder how great this test was. Now, to put some context to this, because the story can be told over a period of hours, if you like. We can sit together for a long time, but we don't have that time together. We have a short time, so let us draw some benefits from it. First of all, let's give it some context. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Al-Medina, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul, who was going to be crowned the king, who was going to be crowned the leader of the people of Medina. This all changed when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al-Medina. Two tribes, Al-Aws wal Khazraj, they embraced Islam, and Al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the leader of Al-Medina. This enraged this individual, and he made it a promise to himself and to others that he would destroy Islam. And he would proclaim his Islam, but internally, of course, he had clear hatred for Islam and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasul Munafiqeen, he was the head of the hypocrites. So year after year, incident after incident, trying to bring about disunity between the Muslims, especially at the Battle of Uhud, when he went with a number of people, and then they reached the outskirts of Uhud, and then they pulled back, leaving the Muslims short-numbered by, you know, less than 300 or so that they left, leaving the Muslim ranks weaker than they left Al-Medina. So he tried it so many times. But walillahi alhamd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an-Nasr, victory to the deen of Allah. Allah azza wa jal gave victory to his deen. And until the Battle of Al-Khandaq, in the fifth year after Hijrah, when all of the tribes, they came together, the mushrikun of the Quraysh, Banu Ghatfan and Banu Qurayza, who broke the treaty with the Muslims, all of them, they tried to put the Muslims under siege and were unsuccessful. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to his deen once again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further, I mean, of course, during this battle of Khandaq, there was a great exposition of who these munafiqun, who these hypocrites were, and their intentions. On top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing Surah Al-Munafiqun, the chapter of Munafiqun, exposing them further and their practices. That they would yahlifuna billah, that they would swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies, innahum lamina al-kadhibun, innahum lakadhibun, that they are from the liars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies that they were liars. So time after time, attempt after attempt to try and harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Islam, but being unsuccessful. Surah Al-Munafiqun being revealed and exposing this individual and the likes of him. What left to do? The Muslims now, after the Battle of Khandaq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we will push against them and they will never fight against us again. Those who tried to attack Islam after this incident, that never will they come to us again, we will go to them. And it was the case. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, step by step, spreading Islam from place to place, inviting people and them embracing Islam by their droves, would take the Muslims out. The places that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to, some of them quite strongly defended, in other places not so much. at these places where the Muslims greatly outnumbered those people who were in these villages and towns, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take a family member with him, one of his wives. And what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do was to draw lots. So to be fair, now we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Ahabbu an-nas ilayk, who is the most beloved people to you, O Messenger of Allah?" And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aisha." Aisha is the most beloved person to me. Now, not just to on every journey to choose Aisha radiallahu anha, but rather what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did to be just and fair, even though according to some of the scholars he wasn't responsible for that. He was free from those responsibilities, like another person who is married to more than one wife. He has to be fair in his time. He alayhi wasallam wasn't upon him on that, but still on issues like this he would be fair. So he would draw lots. What does that mean? In Arabic, we call it qura'ah. Is that you may have a number of, you know, whoever gets the short straw, okay, they get chosen. Whoever gets the long straw, they will be chosen. On this particular journey, which is known as, they're going to a place of Banu Mustaliq. Banu Mustaliq. And the Prophet ﷺ chose the qura'ah, chose the straw, whatever it was. And Aisha's name, radiallahu anha, was chosen. Her name was chosen to go on this particular expedition. The Muslims, they were successful, walillahi alhamd, and they returned. Now when they returned, it was at night time. If they continued their journey, they would have entered into Al-Madinah at night time. And it was from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam not to enter back into the Al-Madinah at night time. And likewise, we take benefit from this, that if any one of us is traveling, that it's preferable to return in the day as opposed to the night. Because maybe your family, they're at home, they're sleeping, and then when you go upon them, you open the door, may cause fright to them, whatever the case may be. So it's always preferable to enter in the daytime. If you don't have a choice over that, okay, your flight, you know, ends up arriving very late, you don't have a choice over it. Of course, you're ma'adhur, you're excused. But generally, if you can return in the daytime, that is preferable. So the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba to take camp, to rest. At this time, maybe less than a day's journey away from Medina, they all took rest. Now Aisha radiallahu anha, when she traveled with the Prophet ﷺ, she would travel on top of a camel. But not like a rider like everybody else. But she would ride on top of the camel in something called a hawdaj. What's a hawdaj? It's almost like a mini tent, okay? It might be partially made out of wood that you could sit on it, and then you might have something at the top to hang the material down so that the person on riding on the camel couldn't be seen. Okay, this is called a hawdaj, like a canopy that you place over the camel. Aisha radiallahu anha, this is what she rode on while on this expedition. So they all took rest. When it was very late, Aisha radiallahu anha, that she had to answer the call of nature, so she left. Now please bear in mind that this story is not being related by a third person who is telling us, then this person, because I'm narrating in third person, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she did this, and the Prophet did this, and so on and so forth. Know that the story in its entirety in Sahih al-Bukhari is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha herself. She narrates the whole incident from the very beginning to the very end. And because she is sahibat al-qissa, she is the one who's participating in the story itself, it doesn't come any more authentic than that. In Sahih al-Bukhari, and the one who's involved in the incident itself is Aisha radiallahu anha, narrating it as well. So there's not a chance of saying, well, maybe the person didn't realize or misunderstood. She radiallahu anha is the one who narrated that. So she mentions that when everybody was resting, that she went away to answer the call of nature. As walking back, she realized, and she put her hand here on her, around her neck here, and realized that a necklace that she was wearing was no longer there. Now she describes what this particular necklace, what it was. It was made out of like onyx stones, which is basically, you know, these, if you go to the beach and you find these see-through stones on the pebbles and things like that, that's what it is. Yeah, and it doesn't really work, it's not worth anything. However, this is what she radiallahu anha wore as a necklace. Bearing in mind, how old is she now at the time now? Okay, how old? She's very, very young. She's a very young teenager at this time. She's young. This is the sixth year after Hijrah. So she realizes that the necklace is not with her. Now, this necklace is an amana. Narration says it belonged to Asma, her sister, radiallahu anha. So she wanted to ensure that it wasn't lost. Oh, I've lost something, I don't care. No, it belonged to somebody else. So she wanted to ensure that she found it. And she took a long time looking for the necklace. So much so, that when she returned to the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set up camp with the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, they had all gone. So this is not a 5 minutes that she, radiallahu anhum, was looking for the necklace. There's a time, quite a time looking for the necklace. And she didn't find the necklace there, subhanAllah. So by the time that she came back, she found that everybody had left. Everybody had left. The people who were given the responsibility, the Sahaba, the companions who were given the responsibility of pulling the camel and ensuring that Aisha radiallahu anha was okay, not in a situation that they would address her and speak to her, no, but to ensure that they were responsible to make sure her ride was healthy, they just simply put the hodaj back on, if it needed to be put back on the camel, or just pulled it along, and then they went off. Because you may be asking, well, wouldn't those people realize, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that somebody's not inside the hodaj, inside this canopy? Aisha radiallahu anha, in narrating this story, narrates this story many, many years later. Okay, she narrates this story, she's telling this story a number of years later. And at every point in this story, on every occasion that you can think about how great a sahabiyya can be, that she emulates that. Every occasion you think that somebody could have behaved in a particular way, immaculately, that Aisha radiallahu anha behaves in that way. In fact, the relationship that the servant has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the level that Aisha radiallahu anha had, is almost unbelievable. Especially when we go later into the story, what happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she makes excuse for those companions who were responsible for pulling on or holding the canopy. And she said, radiallahu anha, that I was very young, and the women at that time were very small and very thin. They didn't weigh very much, so they wouldn't have known. They wouldn't have known that I was not there. So they placed the hawdaj, the canopy, back on the camel, and then they just went off. So she made excuse for those two companions, which is a lesson for us, that we always make an excuse for our brother and our sister, not always looking to blame and look at things in a bad way. We should have husn of dhan. We should have good thoughts. And that is the origin about our fellow brother and our fellow sister. To have good thoughts about them. That even though it's possible to interpret it, that incident or whatever was said in a wrong way, look at it in a good way. Look at it in a good way. So, the hodaj had gone. They'd all returned to Medina. What to do now? She radiallahu ta'ala anha remained in the same place. Didn't walk off. Not to go on her own, that may be some danger, but to stay in the same place. Because once they realized that she wasn't there, they would go back and follow their steps, and they would go back to the place that they camped. And eventually that they would find her, radiallahu anha. This is going through her mind. So, she remained there until she fell asleep. Now what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do is to ensure that any army that they had, that there would be however many 100 people, 200 people, or 500 people, there would be somebody to cover the rear, who wouldn't be exactly with the army, but would come later. Okay? This man, his name was Safwan ibn Mu'attal al-Sulami. He's a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, as instructed, that he would follow the army from behind to ensure that no army would catch them from behind and then expose the Muslims. So this was a strategical plan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do with some expeditions. Now, when Safwan ibn Mu'attal al-Sulami radiallahu anhu, when he is covering and taking the same journey, the same tracks of the Muslims ahead of him, only then to realize that there is a person there sleeping. And he said, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Surprise! This woke Aisha radiallahu anha. It woke her. And she narrates that he saw me and recognized me, because he saw me before Nuzul al-Hijab. He knew me from before the revelation of the sending of al-Hijab. Now by this time, the verses in Surah An-Nur and Ahzab had been revealed, making hijab for the women an obligation. More so than the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that they were required to cover themselves entirely. And not only that, when they would leave, that they would be required to be carried around in these hawdaj, that there would be like a hijab, like a barrier between them and the other people. So, what to do now? To leave her like this? No, it is dangerous. So Safwan ibn Mu'attal al-Sulami radiallahu anhu allowed her to ride the camel and then ride back into Al-Madinah. This is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he never said a word to her at all. Never spoke to her, just led into Medina. As soon as they entered into Medina, people with pure hearts, people with sound minds, it's a nothing incident that Aisha radiallahu anha, the story is clear that she got delayed and was brought back, and she went back to the Prophet alayhi salam. These were people of pure hearts. However, in every society, that there will be people who don't have sound hearts, who don't have pure hearts, but what they want is evil, and to stir evil, and to bring about harm to good people. It may be difficult to comprehend, but there are people like that. It is their desire and their need to create problems. This was an opportunity after Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul. He had been exposed. He had no standing within the community anymore. What to do now? But to spread rumors about what had happened. It was almost like he couldn't believe this opportunity. Here it is, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, returning from an expedition with another man. So he began to spread a false rumor. So it began to spread amongst certain people. And people began to take it, and listen to it, and some of them began to relay that information to others. For us as believers, as Muslims, that when such a news about a brother or about a sister, which happens to be of a very grave nature, it's not wajib, it's not an obligation upon you for you to tell somebody else. Although maybe we feel, it's wajib, I need to go see somebody else. I need to go and tell somebody else. Somebody told you something. The first brother you meet, the first sister, she meets another sister. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened about so and so? Did you hear what they done? Did you hear what they said? It's not wajib for you to relay that information. At times, it is better for you to keep quiet. and especially preserving the honor of Muslims. As-sitr huwa al-awla. To protect them, to cover them, is the priority. However, we deal in what? We deal in, many times, lil-asaf, unfortunately, is when we get information that we feel we need to spread and tell others. So this rumor began to spread around Al-Madinah. Aisha radiallahu anha, upon returning from the journey, fell ill. She became ill, qaddar Allah. And she had to remain home. Normally she would maybe go out at times to visit her father, her mother. However, this time she couldn't go out, and this lasted for a whole month. She was very, very ill, radiallahu ta'ala anha. She noticed that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would visit her, that he was a little bit more distant from her than usual. But she thought, maybe because I am ill, I am sick, he wants to allow me to rest. She didn't think much of it. So this passed for a long time, about a month. On one occasion, Mistah, a sahabiyya, radiallahu anha, came to visit Aisha radiallahu anha. And they went out, and she tripped over. Mistah, she tripped over, and she nearly fell over. When that happened, she said, "May Mistah fall." Her talking about her son. "May Mistah fall. May that happen to Mistah," her son. And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, "What have you said? What have you said about your son? He participated in Al-Badr, the Battle of Badr, Ghazwat Badr, special people who had a special reward. Mistah participated in that. And his mother, and upon tripping and falling over, you know, he lost her mind for a minute, said something about her son." And then Aisha radiallahu anha said, "How can you say such a thing? He is your son and he participated in Badr." Mistah, she replied to her, to Aisha radiallahu anha, "Do you know, or you're not aware of what the people are saying?" And Mistah was from them. Unfortunately, he fell into carrying this piece of information and passing on to others. That Aisha radiallahu anha had returned at so-and-so time with so-and-so individual, and who knows, he passed this information. So here she is, radiallahu anha, Aisha, defending Mistah, of course not being aware that he was one of those people who was spreading the slander. So Mistah radiallahu anha said, "Do you know not what the people are saying?" And she said, "What are the people saying? What do you mean?" When it was said to her, she could not believe. She could not believe that this was being said. And in some narrations, it is said that when appearing, upon hearing this news, she passed out on the floor just like that. Couldn't believe that people would say such an evil and filthy thing. Because this just wasn't the information like the Quraysh, who would say things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is majnoon, he's, you know, very general things. And things about Islam. This was something about the household, about the honor of one of the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very personal space that we're talking about here within the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that people were spreading slander and lies about. Upon hearing that, as in some narrations, she just passed out just upon hearing that. Because remember, for the second time, subhanallah, about Mistah, she defended him as well. That he is your son, how can you say such a thing about him? He's from the people of Badr, he has a great rank. Upon hearing this, she went back home. She went back home and she became more ill than she was the first time. The first time was a physical illness. This time was an illness of sorrow, and a sorrow of the heart, that she remained home. She sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to visit her father and her mother, just to make sure, to find out what's happening. Has what been said? Is this what's being said? Is this what's being spread amongst the people? So she went to visit her mother and her father, her mother Umm Rumman radiallahu anha. Said, "My dear mother, ya ummata, ماذا قال الناس? What are the people saying? What are the people saying?" The mother said, "My daughter, be easy with yourself. Go easy with this. Don't take it too hard. It's just people talking." This is the reaction of the mother who cares for her daughter, who can see that she's visibly very, very shook, upset. That, "Relax, don't worry. It's just people talking. We know it's not true. Don't worry, just leave it." Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Subhanallah. Have people actually said this? It is said out of complete disbelief. It's not registering that a people would say such a thing." And this is what you find, subhanallah. The people of purity, the people of iman, is very difficult at times for them to comprehend and understand the actions and statements of al-mujrimeen, of wrongdoers, evildoers. For many of us, you see an individual goes and commits a crime and something, you can't register it. What really is going through that person's mind for them to say such a thing or to do such a thing? She couldn't believe, radiallahu anha, that people were actually saying such a thing. She went back home and she narrates and she said, "I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried until the morning. I couldn't stop. Uncontrollably, I just cried about what was being said about me." The Prophet ﷺ, I said, asked another companion, "Abu Bakr, I prayed too?" And they said, "Na'am ya Rasulullah." So he stood up and they prayed the remaining part of the prayer. And then after the salah, the Prophet ﷺ said that, "I'm a human just like you. I forget just like you forget sometimes. So if I forget something, remind me." Concerning revelation, he was ma'asoom from that. Concerning the revelation of Allah, he was protected from any form of nisyan, any forgetfulness in concerning that. But on a human level, in these issues, he may forget. And on this occasion, when he prayed two rak'ah, the Prophet ﷺ told the companions, "If I forget something, let's remind me, because I may forget." So he was a human being as well. We must not forget that. So the Prophet ﷺ asked Usama ibn Zayd, "What do you think about what is happening here?" Usama radiallahu, "Nothing except that they are good. We know like this and that there are other women besides her. But what I do suggest is that you ask her servant. Her name was Barira, who's a maid servant of Aisha radiallahu anha. Go ask Barira. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was asked, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, who married you to Aisha radiallahu anha? And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, it was Allah, it was the qadr of Allah. He said, then it is impossible. It cannot be what they are saying about her. It cannot be. If this was the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if she be from the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, this would not be. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Barira, who would be the strongest witness to the character and the behavior of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, have you seen anything from Aisha that will cause you to have any doubts about her? Barira radiallahu anha said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ, by the one who sent you by or with the truth, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have not seen anything from her whatsoever that will cause me to have any doubts about her at all, except one thing. There's one thing that I need to be honest with you with, about. There is one thing. Is that she is a young girl, and that sometimes she falls asleep while kneading the dough, making food for her husband or for somebody else. She kneads the dough and then she may fall asleep. And when she's falling asleep, that a lamb, it comes and it eats the dough and it takes it away. This is the only shortcoming that I know about Aisha radiallahu anha. Ya subhanallah. Is the only shortcoming, is the only thing you can think of, is this one thing. This is a testimony to the character of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, from the most closest of people to her. So this is a crime that she does not know. Barira, she said this, radiallahu anha. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received advice from Usama, from Ali, from Umar ibn al-Khattab and Barira radiallahu anhum jami'an, that he called an assembly. He called all of them. The Prophet called all the companions, Aus, Khazraj, which were two tribes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, standing on the minbar, praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Began an address with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he addressed the believers and saying, who will give me a reason? Who will excuse me from a person who has hurt me with regards to my family and my wives? I mean, if I was to do something now regarding that individual, would anyone say anything against me? Do I not have excuse to do something about this slander that has been said against me? If I were to do anything towards this man, referring to who? Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Sulul, the head of the Munafiqeen. That you cannot blame me, you cannot say anything against me if I was to do something to him. He has affected me, he has slandered me, and it has reached my wife. Can anyone blame me for anything that I may do to him? Who will give me an excuse? By Allah, I only know good about my wife. And they mentioned another man concerning my family, about which I only know good about him as well. Safwan ibn Mu'attal al-Sulami radiallahu anhu. After the Prophet ﷺ said this, one of the people of the tribes, Aus, he stood up. And he said, I excuse you, Ya Rasulullah. And if this person be from the other tribe, I would help you to remove this man from ourselves. So he was from one tribe, and he said, if the individual happens to be from our tribe, we finish him off. If he's from another tribe, we finish him off as well. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, who was the head of Al-Khazraj, responding to this companion, he said, you will do no such thing against our tribe. If it is from your tribe, it is from your tribe. But if this individual is from our tribe, you will not get involved. You will not participate in removing this individual who is a member of our tribe. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And of course, this issue is what? There's a bit of tribalism going on here, is there not? He's from your tribe. If that's your business, you want to take him out, that's up to you. We're Khazraj. Aus, you're not going to do nothing to us. When this happened, Aisha radiallahu anha, again, subhanallah al-azim, narrates. Pain that I was feeling, she said, radiallahu anha. Until one of the Ansar ladies, she came into her to console her. This woman from the Ansar again began to cry with her. This was something that this pure individual could not contemplate or register. That this was being said about her, ayyadhan billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to visit Aisha. The Prophet ﷺ came to visit Aisha. This visit here was different from the previous month, where he was a little distant. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, I am aware what the people have been saying. This is the first time that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has admitted to her, he is aware of what is being said. And I am aware what they are charging you of. If you have slipped into a sin, if you made a mistake, fatubi ila Allah. Then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask His forgiveness. Because when a servant does a sin and admits to it and repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive their sins. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped talking, she stopped crying. She stopped crying. And she said, in the presence of her father, in the presence of her mother, she addressed her father first. Answer the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anni fima qal. She didn't know what to say. Father, speak on my behalf. Answer, say something. Abu Bakr radiallahu an, wallahi ma adri mada aqul. Then She said, "Wa ana ana jariyatun hadithatu sin." She said at this time, and I was, you know, looking back, I was a very young person. لا أقرأ كثيرا من القرآن. I didn't used to read, you know, the Quran or know so much about the Quran, and I couldn't think of the name of Ya'qub alayhi salam. I couldn't remember his name at the time, but I called him Abu Yusuf. She said, "What I will say," and she repeated what she said in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The only mithal, the only example of what I have, O Messenger of Allah, is the example. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. That patience is beautiful, and Allah is sought concerning what they have said. Patience is beautiful, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's aid and help about what is being said here. This was her reply, to reply with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This very young person, to reply in such a manner. She then said, radiallahu anha, "I turned around on my bed, and Allah knows that I was innocent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows I was free from this. I was free from this charge. And I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal my innocence." How strong her tawakkul, her trust and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal my innocence. Narrating the story, she said, "Never ever did I think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal ayat Quran about me. But it would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would maybe be made aware of what the actual truth was." Her reply also to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Even if I admit to this sin, if I admit to it, then people, I've admitted, number one, I've admitted to a sin that I didn't do. Just to keep the people quiet. Okay, I'm admitting to something I didn't do. And if I continue to say that I didn't do it, then the people won't believe me anyway. There's a no-win situation here. I'm innocent." So she waited for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free her of this issue. A month passed. A long time. Subhanallah. This was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered, said, "Ya Aisha, amma wallah faqad bara'ak. By Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has freed you from this claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared your innocence concerning this." Anyone happier than the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time and Aisha radiallahu anha? How they would be feeling wahi min Allah, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, freeing, declaring her innocence concerning this slander. It is this response now from Aisha radiallahu anha that I feel is just amazing. It's just amazing. It's unbelievable, subhanallah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted her with so many gifts. When this was said, the mother of Aisha, Rumman radiallahu anha, was present. She said, "Qum ilay, stand up to him. This is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stand up, look at the news he's brought to you." She replied, "Wallahi la aqumu ilay. I cannot stand because of what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. فَإِنِّي لَا أَحْمِدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. At this time I only find in myself to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not said out of disrespect. Abadan. But this is the tarbiyah. This is the nurturing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instilled to all of the companions. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before anyone. Before your mother, before your father, before your husband or your wife, you thank Allah jalla wa jalala. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And even in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thanks. Person how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained the situation so beautifully. Their mouth and say anything against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised her, freed her of such a claim more than 1400 years ago. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and explains that those people who brought these things or accepted these statements and then passed it on to others would receive a severe punishment. From those people was a person, a very poor person. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his responsibility, he would look after the fuqara, many of the fuqara, many poor people. He would give them money. And there was one of these companions who passed this slander on to others. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, I will not give him anything else. That's it. He participated in the spreading of slander. He gets nothing from me anymore. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat stating and in the meaning, and do not let those who have money amongst you prevent you giving their money to the fuqara and the muhajireen for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their relatives. Let them forgive and overlook. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Forgive them. They fell into wrong. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Would you not love that Allah will forgive you? We love that. We love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. So likewise, those people who were involved in such issues, forgive them and overlook them. And after this, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu again swore by Allah, said, Wallahi, I will look after him and pay him until I can do it no more. This was their response upon hearing the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to say, what's the tafsir over that? What do you mean by that? Do that? Hada qala Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, parents sending you to a madrasa to learn Quran, if it wasn't that you were told by other bodies, other people, learn the book of Allah, we need to go back to the Quran, how often are you told this? But that information, what does it fall on? Does it fall on ears and it just comes out again? Or does it fall on ears as a reminder that you are told to love the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, yes, indeed, I love the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is one of the proofs that you love the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That you have within yourself urged, I need to read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe a few hours goes past. Maybe it's at the end of the day and you haven't read a portion of the Quran. You feel somehow there's something missing. There's something missing within you. You feel this urge, I need to go to the Quran. I need to recite some ayat. I need to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sooner we have a relationship, a real relationship, a real connection, a real understanding, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ummah will change. The ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will change. Once we go back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to us. The moment and the times we have turned away from it, what can you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do you want? We want nasr and we want this and we want that. But where is that? Where is your connection with the advice that Allah Jalla wa'ala has given to us? Where is that? When we read these stories and ponder over these stories, my dear brothers and sisters, it is important for us to understand their reaction when they were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Aisha radiallahu anhu, she replied, "What for sabrun jameel, wallahu al-musta'anu amma tasifun." And patience is beautiful, and I seek Allah's help by that what is being said about me. At the time of being tested, that I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the faraj, when the opening and the help, it comes. This is the relationship. These are the kind of people that we need to be. And that when we read these stories, it serves as a reminder for ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from the people of the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to read such stories and benefit from such stories that we can try to emulate such great people. Because they, wallahi, were the best of people. They were the best of people. No better people will come in the future. These were the best of people. We refer to their lives. We refer to the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and how they understood it. This is our roots. And the moment we move away from that, then we have taken another path. Allahumma al-musta'an. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazallahu shaykhana khayr al-jaza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put this amazing lecture on his scale of good deeds on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who hear and learn, and make us of those who learn from what we hear. Before we finish, inshallah, I just wanted to remind you as well about the next week's lecture. The title of next week's lecture is The Conquest of Mecca, and will be delivered by Ustadh Aqeel Mahmood. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallah bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
What does it mean? In Arabic or Urdu, it means handsome.
Really? Okay. What does it mean? Arabic is the same. Handsome.
I was going to ask you one question. When you mentioned about the Battle of Uhud, was it 700 people going to see that? You said 300.
I said 300?
Yes, 700. Yes. Also, brother, you know, when you saw it, when you mentioned the story of Ashura, how did she beat the mother of that man who came to slander?
How did she come to? When they were both put out, they answered in the question.
I was just wondering what it was, yeah.